I've been making, and the Lord has been answering. It sounds kind of selfish, but they've been financial requests. Not selfish financial requests, not asking amiss, but in the right way, asking for God to bless us financially. And we are in some difficult times as a nation, but I can tell you that God has blessed our family financially so much that you just wouldn't believe it. Say, well, maybe we don't need to pay your salary anymore. That's part of how He's blessed us, so don't rob us of a blessing, please. But seriously, I believe that God has blessed us in those ways for a good while in some specific prayers like that. More recently, you know, it was over Christmas and the holidays that God really got a hold of my heart that I have not been doing right in leading the church to be a soul-winning church, and that I, as the pastor, hadn't been setting the example. I've been preaching that we all ought to do it and accepting that I'm doing it as many people overseas and other churches in America are getting saved through our preaching ministry. That's not good enough. Being a professional pastor here locally, not good enough. Being an example, that's what God wants for me to do. And it was a blessing to lead someone to the Lord last week, and I can't wait for the next one, as we've gone out several times this week. We were looking for our next opportunity there. But I've been specifically praying here just for the last few weeks, just for souls to be saved. And Lord, I would like to lead souls. I've been specifically praying for that and had that answered once now. I'm continuing to pray that because I want that to be answered many more times this year. I've been praying that He would lead you to, or use you to lead souls to Christ. And several of you have just since I've been praying that. I remember we specifically prayed at the beginning of our service Wednesday night for Word of Life clubs. Lord, it's been a little while since we've had any saved back there, and we just want to pray specifically tonight. We said in that service, some of you were there, that we would have little lives saved tonight. And there was two on Wednesday night, correct? Two more that were saved on Wednesday night. God answers prayers. And if you look at verse 10 again, Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed." He's asking a simple request for blessings. And I believe as he prayed prayers like this, he would have been specific as well, just as I'm challenging you to, just as I have been here more recently. "Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed." And then he gets more specific, "and enlarge my coast." He's saying, I want to grow. "And that thine hand might be with me, that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it might not grieve me." It's the prayer of Jabez, but better than that, it's Holy Spirit-inspired scripture that we can learn from here tonight. So here's this golden nugget of truth buried in these genealogies. And sadly, even though the book sold millions of copies, it was a bestseller by far, no doubt had a great effect on many of us who read the book. Won't take anything away from that. Many Christians don't really pray any differently as a result. And that's where I want the rubber to meet the road. I want it to affect my prayer life. Not only 1 Chronicles 4, 9, and 10, the prayer of Jabez, but so much of what Scripture tells us about prayer. I want these things to affect and change my prayer life, and I want that for you as well. So let's talk about it. We want to live differently as a result of these things that we learn. Many people pray these exact words every day. They have the same mentality as those who pray the exact words of the Lord's Prayer every day, or those who've been taught that you sit down at the table and say, "Thank you, Lord, for our food. Forgive us of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen." Some people pray that or some exact words at every meal, just like that. Of course, it was Jesus who told us not to make vain repetitions when we pray. Well, so many people pray this exact prayer, but I think the attitude of it is more important. The principles found in it more important, not rubbing a lamp to summon a heavenly genie. As a matter of fact, I think to do it that way is the very definition of what the book of James calls asking amiss. You know that passage that tells us that God will give us things that we ask for, but not if we ask amiss. We don't want to ask for selfish purposes, but we are praying for God's will and according to God's will. And yet, let's not miss the fact that God wants for us to pray for His blessings and wants to bless us. Now, notice with me in verse 9, it says that Jabez mom named him Sorrow. Look at verse 9 again. Jabez was more honorable than his brother, and his mother called his name Jabez, which means sorrow, literally means sorrow, saying, because I bear him with sorrow. Could she have meant what most of you ladies would say she meant in having labor and contractions and delivering a baby, and I called him Sorrow because it was the thing that came to my mind as he came out? Or was there some other reason? We don't know why she named him Sorrow exactly. It could also be translated burden. She named him burden. Or miserable. That sounds more like labor, right? Sorrow, burden, miserable. Can you imagine what a hard time this little fellow must have had when he was a little boy? Being given this name, when your name means misery. I was born in misery. That's Missouri. Maybe some of the children came knocking at the door asking if misery could come out and play. I don't know if misery loved company or not. Maybe he did love company. That was funnier than that, wasn't it? Maybe not. But what a name to name your child misery, first of all. Bible says his mother called him Jabez because she had borne him in sorrow. So he was labeled from birth for some reason. None of us, however, are bound and tied to our former circumstances, bound to our upbringing, or trapped by it. With God's help, we can rise above, and that's exactly what Jabez did. Though he was born in sorrow and named for it, he was more honorable than his brethren. So obviously he rose out of the muck of the pit, became something for God. Here's the prayer of Jabez. He prayed for, number one, grace. Grace. There's four G words I want to give you tonight that encapsulate verse 10, the prayer of Jabez. This is very brief, by the way, much like the book. Grace. Jabez called on the God of Israel and asked for his grace, asked for the blessing of God. Of course, the blessing of God begins with the grace of God. It's by grace that we can even be saved, according to Ephesians 2:8. For by grace are ye saved through faith, not of ourselves. It's the gift of God. It's not of works, lest we'd brag and boast on ourselves. In Hebrews 4:16, we're told about grace. We're encouraged in Hebrews 4:16. It says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So there's grace again. If a person is going to come to God, he has to start at the starting place, which is grace. Receive the gift of God, the grace of God. And anytime we need anything, we can come boldly to the throne of grace. Jabez realized that he must start with grace. And that's the first phrase. Look at it again, verse 10. Jabez called on the God of Israel. Here's the prayer, saying, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed. That was a prayer for grace. God, you are a gracious God. You are the God of grace. I ask that you be gracious to me, to my family, to my church. I ask that you would bless me, bless us. Oh, that thou would pour your grace out upon us. Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed. That's his first phrase. Number two is growth. After he said, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, he said, and enlarge my coast. Enlarge my coast. I like this one, especially with where we're at as a church right now, as we are filling up. If we had all our people that were away this morning, as we said, we would have been full in here and be ready to move the flags really soon back to that patriotic row and beyond. I believe God's going to enable us to make progress that direction this year. And I am praying specifically that God would enlarge our coast right here. Right now, your coast is this wall and this wall, and you would say the front pew, but nobody would sit there anyway, right? So the second pew is your front coast, and the flags are your back coast. Lord, enlarge my coast. Lord, we want to move the flags. We could pray it just that way. Jabez prayed, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed and enlarge my coast. He was not satisfied to remain the same. He was interested in not only in grace, that was point number one, he was interested in growing in grace. And what does the Bible say about growing in grace? 1 Peter 2:2 says, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Growing in grace. 2 Peter 3:18 says this, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's important that a Christian grow. So we experience God's grace at salvation, but then we need to ask for His blessing. We want grace, we want growth from there. Sometimes small churches, and we're actually categorized these days as a medium-sized church, but a lot of us have been in really small churches, you know what I'm talking about. Sometimes small churches look at themselves and say, oh, we can't do this or we can't do that because we're too small. We don't have the resources to do that. And their vision gets limited by their circumstances. And instead of taking giant steps of faith as a church, they just are satisfied taking little baby steps. And they're just saying to themselves, it's because we're so small that this is all that we can do. I'm reminded of the story of a man who had done something wonderful, and the king called him in because he wanted to reward him. So the man called in the guy to reward him and said, you can mark off as much of the kingdom as you want, and it will be yours. Mark off as much of this kingdom as you want, and it will be yours. The man took his staff and traced a line in the dirt, walked in a circle like this. There he drew the line. He put a circle around himself. The king watched, and as he finished, he said, is that all you want? I told you could have as much of the kingdom as you want. Just mark it off, and you've drawn this circle just around your body. Is that all that you want? The man said, no, I want everything outside the circle. I marked it off. I want everything that's outside of the circle. I ask you tonight, folks, what if we drew a line around this building and said that we want to claim all the territory that's beyond this place for God? What if we did that? Maybe it would be a good activity to actually go out there and mark it off and physically do it, enact this, reenact what this guy did, and claim everything outside this circle. Lord, you've got good things inside this circle. And I'm sure there's other pockets and circles where you've got good things too, but there's so much darkness out there. So basically, Lord, everything outside this circle, off of this property, we want to claim it for you. Jabez looked beyond where he was and said, enlarge my coast. Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed and make something bigger of me. Not make me bigger, but enlarge my coast, my opportunities. Jabez looked beyond where he was and what he could do to where God was and what God could do. We can take a lesson, I believe, from the vision of Jabez. I believe that God wants to bless us more than He is, and that ye have not because ye ask not, and that we can learn from the prayer of Jabez that we ought to ask for His blessings, ask in the right spirit. God wants to bless us more than we realize. He's not hiding blessings from us. I know one of the greatest blessings that He's ever poured out on my life, and in our years here, going on 10 years here at the church, that He's poured out on our church, was something that we didn't even have the vision for. We've told you before about how we just had a narrow vision of the website ministry just being for the people in our church, which, by the way, it was and still is. And however, God had this big vision, and He taught me through that to think big, you know. Who was it, William Carey, that said dream big things for God and expect great things of God. Dream big things for God and expect great things of God. Let's not be the limiting factor in the vision of what God can do around here. Let's take a lesson from these visions we're talking about tonight. Let's not sell ourselves short. Let's not put God in a box, if I could put it that way. Think of everything that's outside these four walls. Growth. Grace, O that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, growth. Number three is guidance. Guidance. Continuing on in verse 10, after he said, bless me, after he said, enlarge my coast, he said, and that thine hand might be with me. That thine hand might be with me. It speaks of guidance, first of all. Jabez prayed for the hand of the Lord to be upon him. He wanted the guidance and the leadership of the Lord. As we began a deacon's meeting this afternoon, we prayed for God's guidance, His direction. We need your wisdom, Lord. We need your discernment. We need your hand to be upon us for guidance as we, on behalf of the church, make some decisions that you've elected us to make. He wanted the guidance and leadership of the Lord. That's something we should want as well. You can read in Matthew 4, also in Luke 4, the story of Jesus being led by the Spirit into the wilderness. He was led by his Father. In Romans 8:14, it says, "As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." So if you're a son of God, you should want to be led by the Spirit of God. According to that verse, we can read throughout our Old Testament about the children of Israel being led by God through the wilderness, by that pillar of cloud by day and that pillar of fire by night. It's all about guidance, being led of the Lord. You can lead your own life or you can be led of the Lord. You can be Spirit-led in your daily walk as well. Jabez prayed for guidance of the Lord. Also, when he says that thine hand might be with me, I believe it's not only saying that I need your guidance, but I believe he was saying I need your power. The hand of the Lord is a hand of power. We need God's hand to be upon us in a powerful way. Are you with me tonight? God's mighty hand wants to reach inside of us and put us on like a glove and then work through us. It's a beautiful picture of how he has decided and chosen to do his work here on the earth. The hand of power. In his book, Wilkinson explains the reluctance that some believers have toward having a greater influence for Christ in their world. Some believers, he explains, say that it's like a mathematical equation. Here's how he illustrated it. A mathematical equation. Most Christians think that here's the equation. They think this is the equation, that it looks like this. There's my abilities, plus my experience, plus my training, plus my personality and my appearance, plus my past, plus the expectations of others, leads to my equals, my expected territory. What I should expect to be capable of in my life. My expected territory is found in my abilities, experience, training, personality, appearance, my past, and the expectation of others. All these things added together equals my expected territory. Well, their prayer then would read something like this, or sound like this. Lord, please use my abilities such as they are. Give me the experience and the training that I need to do the work that you want me to do. Make me a better person. Please help people not find out what I really used to be like. And help me to be what everyone expects me to be so that I can have more influence. My expected territory. Wilkinson continues and writes, "Our God specializes in working through normal people who believe in a supernormal God who will do his work through them." That means God's math would look more like this equation. My willingness and weakness plus God's will and power equals expanded territory. No longer my expected territory, expanded territory. Instead of everything being about me, it's about him. It's just my willingness and who am I? My weakness. My willingness and my weakness plus God's will and his supernatural power equals expanded territory. That's a good way of breaking down and illustrating the prayer of Jabez here. Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed and enlarge my coast. Something bigger than anyone would expect. And what does verse 9 say at the beginning? Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. He did stand out. He did stand head and shoulders above the rest. Why? Because there was something special about him? No. Because he turned to the Lord in prayer and asked him to make something more of him for his glory. Other people could look at Jabez, sorrow, look at old sorrow over there and say, I don't know how that happened other than God did it. And see, then God gets the glory instead of it was all about Jabez's personality or Jabez's talents, anything like that. No, it was his willingness, his weakness, and his prayer, nothing about him in the natural, God in the supernatural. Expanded territory then. And so we're reminded again, aren't we, church, that the best ability is availability. And dependability comes in a close second. When it comes to other supernatural abilities, that's where God comes in. If we'll look to Him and ask for Him, that thine hand might be with me. So what do we have so far here? We've got the first three G's. We've got grace. Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed. A prayer for growth and enlarge my coast. And that thine hand might be with me. Guidance and the power of God as well. Number four, godliness. Jabez's prayer concludes with godliness. Look at the end of verse 10. He says, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. The devil always has a plan to pull us back down into the pits of despair, to pull us back into sin and wallowing in the sin. Not that we're ever going to be perfect, but he has a plan to pull us way down and keep us down, and it grieve us. That's his words there. You see that at the end of verse 10? That it may not grieve me. That thou wouldest keep me from evil. God, you've got a good thing going right now in my life. You're blessing me. You're enlarging my coast. Your hand is with me. Very important to add to this prayer, that you would keep me from evil. That thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. Jabez prayed that God would deliver him from evil or keep him away from sin. We're talking about godliness now. You know what Psalm 12:1 says? It says, help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth. The faithful fail among the children of men. Boy, is that ever true today? Psalm 12:1 prophesies, it's a prophecy saying, in the future, we will cry out, help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth. This prophecy seems to have been completed in the earth. We can cry out, help, Lord, for there's so few remaining these days. Truly born again, blood-bought Christians today. Serious Christians following the Word of God. Not explaining any of it away, but just believing it literally. It's becoming a smaller and smaller number. Now, we won't make the mistake that they made. Was it Elijah who made the mistake and said, I'm the only one? No, God had many more in some other places, even though they were few in number. Well, they're fewer in number today than ever. And so, help, Lord, the godly man ceaseth. That prophecy seems to be being completed in the earth. Listen to 1 Timothy 4:7, which says, exercise thyself unto godliness. Exercise thyself rather, instead of the kind of exercise that we all put high on our list, how about doing some spiritual exercise? Exercise thyself unto godliness. A lot of people in our church lately have been getting into exercise, and it's a good thing. It's a needed thing, especially in America. I'm proud to see people doing it. We're doing it at our house. It's supposedly showing some results, too. That's a good thing. But what does the Bible say about bodily exercise? It profits what? Little? Or for a little, I believe, is the exact interpretation of it. Not saying that it's a little profit. It can be a great profit, but it profiteth for a little. In other words, it's temporary, right? How good of a corpse am I going to leave? That's the question, right? Want a good-looking thin corpse. That's our goal, right? Everyone to really say they look so good. Don't you think they look good? And they did a good job on them too. That's what we want people to say on that day, right? Well, evidently we're exercising for more reason than just for our funeral too. So I'm not minimizing that. I'm saying tonight, oh, that we would exercise ourselves unto godliness. And 1 Timothy 4:7 says, exercise thyself rather unto godliness. If you could only do one thing, this is the exercise you want to do. If you want to do the physical on top of this, do that. But you know that thrill in the physical exercise? You know that gain that comes through that pain? You know that fulfillment that comes through seeing progress? Hey, I've lost weight, or I'm toning up, or they whistled at me, or whatever. You know that feeling? Oh, that we would get that excited about exercising ourselves unto godliness. That's the challenge here. Titus 2:12 says, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. See, in this present world, it's more important to be godly. In the future world, I'm going to have a perfect body. How about you? Yeah? Perfect. In this present world, says we should live godly. 2 Peter 1:6 says, add to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, and to patience godliness. So here's some good verses on godliness. Here's one in 2 Chronicles 4:10 in the prayer of Jabez. Keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. The devil wants to ruin a good thing. Don't you know he wants to throw some monkey wrenches into the works at Grace Baptist Church right now while we're on a roll? A lot of the people who came out as part of the A-team Tuesday and Saturday and this afternoon really had some, several people had some real satanic opposition in them even coming. I believe that the devil knows that we're onto something here. Hey, here's a place that's woken up and saying, let's try it the way God said. I got to try to put a stop to that. No, we can't allow him to do that, can we? We can't. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Upon this rock I will build my church. The gates of hell will not prevail against it, Christ told Peter. Okay, so where are we at now? Our text says God granted him that which he requested. Isn't it nice to see answered prayer? You know that feeling? Everybody here, if I said if you've ever had an answered prayer, would raise their hand, because you've had many answered prayers. Isn't it sweet when God answers a prayer? I like the fact that the Bible tells us there's some prayers that you can pray, and if you pray them right, the answer is always yes. I pray those every day habitually. I was taught long ago to pray habitually out of the right heart for the right, with the right motive, to pray for wisdom. James 1 says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally. Then it tells us not to ask amiss. So that cautions me, just saying the prayer doesn't do it. Ask with the right heart attitude. Okay? Now listen, I just say this in order to try to be an illustration. Okay? If you think that you see in me wisdom, I think that there actually is, and that it's God's answer to prayer. Okay? Because you should have known me as a kid before I ever prayed those prayers. No wisdom to be found. You see some of the things I say and do today, and you see the real Jerry, or you go to Kuna or on trips or whatever, and you're just like, no wisdom there. But when you see God on a person, you can see wisdom. Okay? You Kunites, stop laughing. Okay? Listen, that's the way God wants it to be, too. He gets the glory for any wisdom that I may have. And I believe Him at His Word, so I'm not boasting tonight when I say I believe that I have wisdom. I believe that I have wisdom from God. And I ask Him every day for it because His promised answer is yes. What's another prayer that the Bible says you can ask, and if you ask it right, the answer is always yes. I mean, there's so much of our prayer life that's according to God's will, and is He saying no? Is He saying slow, not right now? Is He saying grow, you're not ready for that yet? But what are the things that He will say yes to? Somebody else? Wisdom is one. Any other ideas? Yeah, don't miss the big one. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We spent 25 minutes in a lady's house yesterday out on visitation. It was a great, great visit. I knew it from the time she opened the door with that Steelers shirt on. This is going to be good. It was really good. We had a great talk with her. She was promised to be here this morning. I really believe that you are going to see her soon. She's like a neighbor a couple blocks away and has invited us to walk down with the kids when we take some of our walks and see her. She's about 45, 48 years old, and I believe you're going to meet her. You can be praying for her in the meanwhile by first name, Mary. Please pray for Mary. And be aware that Mary yesterday told me that she believes that she's saved. She thinks she would go to heaven. Okay, but how can any of us know for sure until we get there? That's how she put it. Until you have the proof and actually walk through the gate, how do you know that you're really going? I had the privilege of showing her from the Bible how you can know that you know. And specifically that verse, Romans 10:13. Do you know that you have called upon the name of the Lord and that He's all that you're trusting in? She said, yes. And I said, so then can you know that you're saved? She said, well, as long as God keeps this promise, and I know that He does and can't lie. She just kind of had the attitude in a very unintentional kind of subconscious way, had the attitude of, I have the hope of heaven in Christ. And when really we can have more than just hope, we can have the knowledge of heaven. We can know, these things have I written unto you that ye may know that ye have eternal life. 1 John 5:13. How can we do better than that? I need to share that verse with her too. I should have done that yesterday. What else? There's more in Scripture. The promised answer is yes. Have you thought of another while we've been thinking about it? John 14:14 says, if you will ask anything in my name, I will do it. Ooh, what does that mean? There's a lot I can fit inside that verse, by the way. Isn't there a lot you can... You know, somebody says, oh, it's more than you can imagine. Hey, I can imagine a lot. Okay, verse 13 says, okay, good. We could preach a whole message on this concept here. Let's not go too deep on this. I just want you to see this point. And by the way, my quote earlier, I should attribute and credit solo. I don't know. I can imagine a whole lot, he said, when promised some riches if he would help rescue the Princess Leia. Okay, so you can imagine a whole lot. John 14:14. I want to give credit where credit's due. Okay? Harrison Ford, specifically. If you will ask anything in my name, I will do it. There's a lot that you can fit in there. It's narrowed down a little bit by that the Father would be glorified through it. It's narrowed down somewhat in the very words of verse 14, if you're asking it in His name. It's narrowed down by James where it tells us not to ask amiss as well. But the same Bible that says these things says, ye have not because ye ask not. If we ever, as Christians, err on one side or the other of how God wants us to pray, it's on the side of lack of prayer. It's on the side of lack of faith. It's on the side of lack of asking. Okay? I think we can take some good things from that tonight. The Bible says, ye have not because ye ask not. God wants to bless us, and yet He wants for us to ask. Now, isn't that how you are with your kids too? Don't you want to bless them? Don't you? But wouldn't you rather them ask? Wouldn't you rather them earn? Wouldn't you ask for them, or want them to somehow live up to some kind of a standard? Okay? And it's nice if they would ask. And to ask out of the right heart, out of the right motive. Okay? When we talk about praying for financial blessings, Lord, you say, owe no man anything. I've got this debt to deal with. I'm asking out of the motive of help me to pay these things off and be more honorable as a steward with your money. Not a cha-ching factor of, God, would you bless me because there's some trips that I'd like to take and some things that I'd like to get and all these things. There's nothing wrong with those things in God's timing and in God's way. But out of the right spirit. When we talk about enlargement, we talk about enlarging of the church. You know what a huge temptation for the pastor, what the huge temptation for the pastor is that I may be glorified with a big church. I pastor a big church. You know what? I would like that. And you know what? In some ways, I probably would be glorified through that. So I have to do some soul searching and ask for the right reason. Is this about my kingdom or God's kingdom? Am I building a kingdom for me? Or are we trying to build a kingdom for God? Is it about those that can be saved so they can be added to our church? Or is it about those that can be saved so they can be added wherever God would send them to be? Even if we never really reap any benefit ourselves, it's to their eternal benefit, and it's to the benefit of Christianity and to whatever church that God sends them to. You know it grieves a pastor any time you lose a good family, and in a transient area like Decatur, we're more moving out than in. You know we've sent a lot of people out as missionaries to other churches. We would have the flags back further if we had everyone that we've had since I've been here. Okay? but that would be to my glory anyway. To God's glory, most of those are serving the Lord in churches. Is that a loss? No, it's all heaven's gain. So we got to find the right way to ask God for enlargement, that you would enlarge our coast. I'm thinking of the church right now. You may want to ask the Lord to enlarge your coast of just your spiritual life, your prayer life. Enlarge that coast. What other coast do you need to see enlarged? Lord, enlarge the coast of wisdom. I need your wisdom, especially in these days. Enlarge my coast when it comes to soul winning. Maybe it is a financial prayer. Maybe it's something entirely different. God wants for us to ask for growth, for grace, for godliness, guidance in all things. I want to show you one last thing from Matthew chapter 7. If you would turn, please, to your New Testament, Matthew 7, we'll be done. Let's end it here, Matthew chapter 7. You know these verses. They are timely placed right here in this message because this is God's word for us tonight. In considering the prayer of Jabez, it says, Matthew 7, beginning in verse 7, "Ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you." These are red letters, aren't they? Jesus speaking directly to us tonight, folks. Imagine Jesus coming up here and saying the words that I just read. For all practical purposes, he just did. Let's hear it that way, as though Jesus took the platform tonight. How blessed would we be if we heard Jesus say, "Ask and you'll receive. Seek and you'll find. Knock, that door that's closed will be opened unto you." Continuing on, verse 8, "For everyone that asketh receiveth, he that seeketh findeth, to him that knocketh it shall be opened." And then he illustrates, "What man is there of you whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone?" Only Charlie Brown's dad, right? Puts rocks in the bag. He asks for a fish, right? Verse 10, "If he ask for a fish, will he give him a serpent?" That's not a loving father. "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him?" God wants to bless us. That's something I take from this message tonight. I hope you go home with it. He's not punishing you. To listen to this morning's message, you'd think he's mad at everybody. I walked away this morning feeling like, God, I'm so glad that I'm under your love and not under your wrath. Aren't you glad for that too? We're under his love, a point that needed to be made better this morning, we who are saved. God wants to do good things for his children. And here's another point. We don't really know what's best for us. He knows better what's best for us. Sometimes his blessing is saying no to one of our requests because he's got something better for us or because it wouldn't have been right for us. We can trust that he does know what's best for us. And we can have his best by asking for it. Now back to Jabez. Your name may never be widely known. Years from now, I could be just another genealogical branch on a family tree. No one know my name. But one thing is for sure. Jabez is a lesson to all of us when it comes to asking and receiving from our loving Father above. Look this way, please. Here's the verse again. Here's the prayer. No magic words. Plenty of gold nugget concepts inside. Oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed. Grace. And enlarge my coast, growth, and that thine hand might be with me, guidance and power, that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me, godliness. A lot of good stuff in that prayer, isn't there? No wonder he stood head and shoulders above the rest. No wonder God did enlarge his coast. We're not going to go outside and do it, but will you do it in your mind right now? Will you draw a circle around this church? And say, God, thank you for the good things you're doing inside it. We claim that which is outside of it. And we pray that you'd help us to bring many people who are outside of it, inside of it. That's a simple prayer, isn't it? The good things that you've blessed us with, we want to share it with others. With heads bowed and eyes closed tonight, I hope nobody comes tonight and prays the prayer of Jabez specifically, but in principle, in concept, I pray that your prayer life would grow as mine has through the study of this prayer and other admonitions that we've seen from God's Word tonight about prayer. As a matter of fact, if God's Word tonight has blessed your heart and you've been challenged in your prayer life tonight, would you show it by an uplifted hand tonight? God's spoken to me about my prayer life. I see hands all over the place. Glory be to God for that, you know? Especially now, if unlike the millions who bought the book and don't live by it at all, especially if we really let it change us, really let it affect us and impact our daily walk, our everyday prayer life. I hope you do come to this altar and pray tonight something better than even the prayer of Jabez. And let's include in it that circle. Let's pray that to the Lord tonight, please. Let's draw that circle. Let's claim the territory and regions beyond. There's many around this world that we can't reach, but our missionaries are reaching out to. Let's pray for them. We have the unique opportunity as a church to have thousands of pastors and missionaries around the world whom we don't support financially, who like our message and like to preach our message. Let's pray that our message would go out and change hearts and lives, that many souls would be saved in regions beyond where we cannot reach. But listen, right now I'm just talking about those who could come. They're outside this circle, but they're not far away from it. There's many worldwide who wish that they could come to a place like this. Let's give the invitation well to those who could. They are close enough. Let's draw that circle tonight. After I pray, then we're going to stand. We're going to have music. We're going to have a full-blown real invitation tonight, and I'm going to challenge you to pray a prayer at this altar only if it's going to be the first of many. That's asking for God's blessing on you, your home, your family, and your church, and however else that you want to pray, please include those things. Okay? Let's include our nation as well. Lord, tonight, we do pray for your blessings. I thank you, Lord, that if we ask according to your name and in your will, things that you could be glorified from, and not asking for our own selfish purposes, that you want to pour out blessings. We do specifically pray that you would grow and enlarge our coasts. Lord, we do specifically want to pray tonight that your hand would be upon us, that you would put us on like a glove, do your work through us, speak through us as we go out witnessing three times a week as a church. May more souls be won even this week. May we come back giving you the glory for it all. And Lord, I pray that you would bind Satan who wants to ruin all the good things going on in our midst, that you would keep us from evil that would grieve us and pull us down and try to ruin the good thing that you've got going here. Lord, tonight we want to come and draw that circle and pray that you'd help us to reach into regions beyond. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand to our feet. Eyes are closed and heads are bowed. Would you take this challenge from your pastor tonight? Would you come right now?